Let me take just a moment to express gratitude and appreciation for the presence of every one of you and the visitors that are in our audience. We're happy and delighted that you've come our way, and we trust the service will be a blessing to you. We invite you to come and be with us every opportunity that you have. You're always an honored guest, and we'll treat you with kindness and try to make you feel at home. I'm talking to you this morning on the Golden Rule. And open your Bible, if you would, please, to Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 12, where it's recorded. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This passage, or this statement, is the capstone of the whole discourse of the Sermon on the Mount. This was the first time that anything like this had ever been stated. Now, in essence, however, in principle, this was taught in the Old Testament, where God said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will do unto him as ye would have him do unto you. Now, there are several characteristics in this rule. Number one, we see the action involved. You'll find the word "do" in it. The Lord doesn't want just sentimentality, not just emotion. He wants action. "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." We also observe its breadth. All things whatsoever, not just our friends and our family, not just fellow Christians, not just our neighbors, but also this principle is to be practiced with our enemies and strangers and disagreeable persons and heathen savages. Everyone is included in this rule. And it's also lucid, that is, it's clear and extinct. We can well perceive what we should like ourselves, and we know how we would like to be treated under certain circumstances. And knowing how we would like to be treated, in turn, we know how to treat others. And the fourth characteristic of this principle or rule is that it's reasonable. Each person is to be his own judge. As we perceive it, as we like, or we dislike, we do to others the way that we would like to be treated ourselves, and we do not to others those things that we dislike. And so it's reasonable, it's lucid, it encompasses everyone, and it has action. Now, there have been many rules or guiding principles set forth in times past that deal with human relationships. In fact, there are four that I want to direct your attention to for a few minutes, including this one. One of them has been termed or designated the iron rule. The iron rule says that might makes right. It's based on brutality, the satanic principle. Get what you can, regardless of how you obtain it. We see it practiced in the life of Cain as he slew his brother Abel, and among the Pharaohs as they oppressed the people of God, and Alexander the Great who conquered the world, and among the Caesars as they helped nations under their control, and Adolf Hitler and others that could be enumerated. We see it, brethren, practiced today in government around the world, in business, in the home, and also in the church. It's nothing more than tyranny and oppression, the iron rule. Another rule is what's called the brass rule. And that rule says, you do to others as they do to you. You retaliate. Give them the same in return. I remember in school years ago, we had to have verses, quote verses. And my name, of course, Warnock, I was about the last one in the class. And I never could get Jesus wept. There was somebody stole that one before I ever got a chance. And so here, I didn't know about Rejoice Evermore, or I would have quoted that one. So I had to get me a verse. I knew there wasn't any use to quote Jesus wept. So I tried the golden rule, Matthew 7 and verse 12. And I began, and here's the way I quoted it. Do unto others as others do unto you. Well, the teacher said, well then, are you sure that's what it says? Well, actually, I quoted the way a lot of us practice it, you see. No, that isn't what it says. But that's the brass rule. And it's a rule of retaliation, of reciprocation. And the Bible teaches that if our enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. And we don't return evil for evil, but good for evil, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12. And there's a statement here given by our Lord in the 5th chapter of Matthew and verse 44 beginning. And I say it to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And he gives a reason why. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Then he says in conclusion in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect or complete in this regard, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What if God, friends, treated us like we treat him or treat others? Thanks be to his mercy and his compassion and his love that he blesses us abundantly. And this is the kind of attitude that we're to have as his people. But the brass rule says, no, you return evil for evil, and maybe even at times good for good, but never good for evil. Another rule is the silver rule. And it simply states, let us do nothing to others that we would not want others to do unto us. That's a negative rule. And it's ascribed to Confucius. And Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. But this is not a constructive rule. It is negative. But here in Matthew 7 and verse 12, Jesus gives what has been designated as the golden rule. And paraphrasing, do unto others as ye would have others do unto you. We find the different rules exemplified, I believe, in the story of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer came to Jesus and asked him about eternal life. And the Lord said, ask him a question, what does the law say? How do you read? And says, love your neighbor as yourself. And then the question came up, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan about a man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and he was beaten and robbed and left half dead. Here is the iron rule. What is yours is mine, you see. And a Levite came along, or a priest came along, and he walked on the other side. And then the Levite came along, and he passed by on the other side. They weren't going to get involved. They were reflecting the brass rule and the silver rule, perhaps. But then came along, of all people, a Samaritan. They really had no dealings with the Jews. And the Samaritan, Jesus said, saw this man and had compassion on him. And he stopped and bound up his wounds, and he poured in wine and oil. He put him on his beast, and he took him to the inn and agreed to pay for his keep. That's the golden rule, ladies and gentlemen. And here's what we are to be as the people of God, compassionate and merciful to the needs of our fellow man, whoever he is. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 28, we're to work or labor with our hands that we might have to give to them that who are in need. And on it goes. The golden rule. And what an extraordinary statement it is. It is a summary statement of so much already preached by Christ. And it is the epitome of what he summed up in other places as the second greatest commandment in Matthew 22, 39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's what James calls the royal law in James 2 and verse 8. And if you would fulfill the royal law, which says thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou doest well. And in the immediate context of Matthew chapter 7, it is pointing back to judgment in the first few verses. And here in the beginning of this chapter, our Lord said, judge not that you be not judged. He's talking about rash judgment, censorious judgment, judging the man's motives. And if I put some kind of interpretation on a motive of an individual, and I don't have the basis or the facts, I'm not practicing the golden rule. Jesus said in verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so judge not. If we falsely accuse or falsely judge an individual, Jesus says we're not practicing the golden rule. But what does the golden rule, or what should the golden rule brethren and friends mean to you and to me. What's the application of this admirable principle? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that I should start with myself rather than with others. Let us ask, what do I like? I was reading a book in preparation of this, and one author suggested that we make a list of what we like, detail it, what we like and what we don't like. And then realize that others have the same feelings that we do. And if I don't like something, then I should not treat another individual in a fashion or a way that would hurt him or that would reflect upon him in any way. Basically, this principle should mean that I put myself constantly in the position of others, in his shoes. Now let's analyze that for just a moment. Putting myself into the situation of the other person, I do not say unkind things because I do not like for others to say unkind things about me. Now, you know, children can be very abrasive. Here's a little child who is obese, overweight. And you know what? He or she gets at school all the time, fat's all. And she comes home crying, weeping because they're calling me fatso at school or other derogatory names. And some of us never grow beyond that childishness because we still will walk up to an adult and you sure look like you're gaining a lot of weight. You're fat, aren't you? I was down in Mississippi some time ago and there was in the wintertime, that particular occasion, and one of the black ladies downtown, she had a fur coat on. And somebody came up to her and said, you look like you're sure gaining weight. Oh, she said, it's just this fur coat. Fur coat? You don't have any fur on your face. Looks like we could say something complimentary, doesn't it? Not unkind remarks that are cutting, that are hurtful to the individual. Some of us have sensitivity, I guess, toward baldness. I can take it myself. It doesn't. Somebody said the Lord only made a few perfect heads. They didn't want to cover up, didn't it? Well, we joke right back out of it, but some people are sensitive about it. Somebody come along and said, you sure got a bald head, haven't you? Now, you know, if you wanted to retaliate in kind, that I don't like your ugly face either. Huh? How'd you like that if somebody said, I don't like your ugly face? And I know there's a time to jest and a time to kid, time to joke, but people sometimes are sensitive. And we as fellow Christians, fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, are just people. Need to be aware of that which is good manners and etiquette and proper in our relationship to one another. I do not want people to want people making my life difficult, so I do not make the lives of others difficult. I do not want to be hurt, so I don't want to hurt others. In my relationship, for example, with elders, suppose I were the elder. How would I like to be treated as an elder or a preacher? You know, sometimes younger preachers are not encouraged by older brethren. They may split an infinitive. They may have a dangling participle. And you know, all we bring up about the sermon this young man is trying to preach and learning and developing is his grammar. You sure got it all messed up today, preacher. Well, there's a time to call him aside and tell him in a nice way that it'd be better to rephrase this. Here's a mistake that you made. I think he appreciates that. I heard a tape some time ago, and this is Goldtrap. He's a member of the church. But Goldtrap was making a speech. And of course, this is all for jest and jest. But he's talking about this preacher who was holding this meeting. And first night, he at the vestibule, a young man came by and said, "You sure preached a sorry sermon tonight, preacher." That kind of upset him. Next night, this same young fella came out and said, "I'm going to tell you, preacher, that's the worst sermon I ever heard in my life." And the next night he came out and he said, "If I couldn't preach any better than that, I'd quit." Well, that really got him set off. So he went to the elders and he said, "What's going on here?" There's a young man, three nights in a row, he says, "Sorry sermon ever heard, but couldn't preach any better than that, I'd quit," and so on, and said, "I'm tired of that." "Oh," they said, the preacher said, "don't pay attention. That young man," said, "he's not all there." Said, "he just loves to say." "The fact of the matter is," said, don't take him too seriously. Said, "he only says what he hears anyway." Put ourselves in the situation or circumstances of the other, or the members, or the song leader. If we're an employer, suppose I were the employee. How would I feel? I'd want to be treated justly. I wouldn't want to keep my nose to the grindstone 8 hours a day, every minute, without any kind of a break. I'd want to be paid fairly and equitably as an employee, and turn it around. If I were the employer, I'd expect a full day's work, wouldn't I, Dale? Should. I shouldn't have to have somebody right over me every moment to see whether it's doing the job or not. But here we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that people have feelings and people have rights, and we need to put ourselves in their shoes and their situation under their circumstances and act accordingly. In my marriage, suppose I was the wife or the child or the husband. And here this principle says, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so ye to them." And if it's the wife, how would she want to be treated? And if it's the husband, what relationship should I have to him? And if it's a child, what consideration should I have the child? And there's another factor here. And I won't exhaust all of them by any means. But you know, brethren, a matter that we've been negligent on and failed miserably, a lot of us through the years, has been the racial relationship. Some of us have treated black people terribly. And they've felt the brunt of it through the years. And it's not just one side. There's racial prejudice among them as well. But you know, in this respect, talking about the royal law in James, the second chapter, the context is showing respect to persons. Verse 9, "But if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law's transgressor." But verse 8 says, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Now, if I were a black man, I'd like to go into a restaurant and eat. And if I were a black man, I'd like to be able to get on a bus and sit anywhere I please. And if I were a black man, brethren, I'd want to have the prerogative, especially among the people of God, to be able to sit in the front row if I so chose. But in years past, there's somebody at the door to direct them up on the balcony for segregation. And due to the Supreme Court ruling and due to the brethren or people being forced into integration, which we should have made the choice ourselves a long time ago, these little black youngsters had to stand out beside the road to catch the bus to ride right by the high school or by the grammar school to a city 25 miles away in order to go to school. And that's wrong. And it's despicable. And a man who's, because of his color of skin, doesn't mean he's inferior. And he should have the privilege to stand in the pulpit wherever I stand and preach the gospel of Christ if he's qualified to be an elder among the people of God to direct the singing and serve the Lord to the fullest. He's not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. That's the principle Jesus says in Matthew 7. Treat others as you would like to be treated. All the books, ladies and gentlemen, on ethics and social responsibility and human relations can be best summed up in these words in Matthew 7 and verse 12. And someone said, the greatest problem of our times is the problem of human relationships. It's not politics, it's not money, it's human relationships. And think of the world in which we live as how it be. Among governments, among communities, even in the church of God, if we practice the golden rule. Now note the Lord's supporting argument here in Matthew 7:12. He says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is what the Old Testament teaches. Here's a summation of all the Old Testament. Everything can be summed up in this. So is the law and the prophets. Now, you know the Pharisees, they had the idea that the law is just an end of itself. And they viewed it, that is, the law as a thing, and simply to be kept as regulations, and they looked upon it as something prohibitive and negative. But Jesus said, you treat other people as you would like to be treated, for such is the law and the prophets, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness. Because from refraining from participating in these things, you love your neighbor and practice the golden rule. Now there are some abuses in the application of the golden rule. And one of them is that people have read this and drawn the erroneous conclusion that in order to be saved and go to heaven, all you got to do is keep the golden rule. I'm a good fella. I treat my fellow man with dignity and respect. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The golden rule has nothing to do with God, that is, in relationship to God. It's dealing with relationship to man. And a person can be an unbeliever and practice the golden rule. A person can be a false religionist and practice the golden rule. Jesus comes into the picture. And a man can go before the judgment throne of God and practice the golden rule all of his life, but not have Christ. Let me tell you something. I don't know anybody that's ever obeyed it or conformed to it or practiced it perfectly. All of us have fallen short at times on the golden rule, and we need Christ and his blood. And the only way that man can be redeemed, saved eternally, is through Christ Jesus. And the golden rule doesn't deal with that. Now in Matthew 22, Jesus not only said, love your neighbors yourself, but he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. And we got to have a relationship with God as well as that relationship with one another. But now there's another factor here where this passage is abused. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Let's say you're a criminal. Let's say that you're a murderer. And you're convicted of your crime and you're sentenced to the electric chair. And you stand before the judge and you say, Your Honor, did you ever read the Golden Rule? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Would you like to be executed? No. Would you like to be hanged? No, sir. Would you like to be given an injection of a drug that would terminate your life? No. Would you like to be shot? Whatever the process may be. Or your little boy may come up to you. He's done some mischievous deed. And you as a father say, I'm going to give you a spanking. And he looks at you, Dad, remember the Golden Rule. Would you like to be spanked? No. I can't say that I would. But you know where the misapplication, you know where it's missed here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Golden Rule does not incorporate and allow things that are wrong themselves. In other words, it doesn't permit you to violate other principles, other laws. The Bible teaches that the criminal, the murderer, is to be put to death. The Bible teaches that we're not to spare the rod, as it were, that we're to punish, discipline our children. And the Golden Rule does not preclude those or nullify those, you see. Indeed, it does. And so it's in that misapplication of the text. Now, in conclusion, why do men not obey this divine principle? Why is it, brethren, that some of us in the church fall short of it? And the answer is, and it can be summarized in one word, the answer is self. Self gets in the way. We always think of self. We are self-centered, self-satisfied, self-protecting, and self-concerned that we don't look at others or feel for others. It's self. Selfishness. The Christian, listen, the Christian who imbibes this attitude in Matthew 7:12, in his heart, will never seek to avoid doing things for others. He will always look for things to do. You see, this is the difference between the Golden Rule and the Silver Rule. The Silver Rule says, I'm not going to do you harm. The Golden Rule says, not only am I not going to do you harm, I'm going to do you good. And I think all of us can improve in this respect. I know I can. Now this is going to make life more complicated. We're going to have to stop doing sometimes some things that we're doing and help others. I'm going to have to lay down whatever project I may be involved in and go somewhere else and help some neighbor. But that's what the Golden Rule is all about. It's not always convenient, and it's something you want to do, you want to get it over with, and you're interested in, involved in, and well, lo and behold, here this is thrust upon you all of a sudden, you got to lay it aside and go off over yonder and help somebody else. But that's what the Lord teaches. This is a principle. If we imbibe this spirit, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 7, it will dominate our lives. Now listen to me. In the factory where we work, in the home where we live, even driving an automobile. Now once in a while I get all frustrated in driving an automobile. And sometimes I do wrong. You rascal, you put your bright lights on me, I'll show you who's got the brightest. Isn't that right? Have you done that? And somebody, what gets me, I guess, is I'm going down the highway, and let's say it's 45 mile an hour speed zone, and everything's completely clear behind me, but here's a fella who just got to get out on the highway, and he right on out through the stop sign, and I have to set on my brakes, keep him hitting him in the rear end. And I like to give him, you know what, a few words. That's the inclination. But what are we going to do? How are we going to react to these things that come our way day after day? Jesus said what? That we retaliate good for evil. Here's the office. Here we're riding the train, on the plane, on the bus. We're at games. We're everywhere. Even the church. We do unto others as others, as we would have others do unto us. And you know, that's just down to the basic principles of good manners, attitude. It's actually love exemplified in the little things of everyday life. Sometimes we look at love as some great principle that we sometime or other can reach up to if we strive long enough. Listen, love is something that comes everyday life. The little ups and downs, the small activities, the relationship to one another is what the Bible means by love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, for such is the law of the prophets. And indeed it is the capstone of all that Jesus taught, the Sermon on the Mount. I want to tell you, brethren, if we practice it, it'll make every one of us a more noble, admirable individual, more lovable, and more like him who came and died for you. I mean, I believe. If you're in this audience this morning, you're not a Christian. As we sing this song of invitation, we want you to come and give God your heart. Jesus came, lived, and died, and suffered, and he died for my guilt and your guilt. As a consequence of our sin, Jesus went to Calvary. Today he beckons, he invites, and he sits at the right hand of God, as King of Kings. Jesus says, come, and I'll receive you, and I'll save you, and I'll forgive you, and I'll pardon you. What greater appeal could be made than to the Lord of Lords?